Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated is the Seth MacFarlane space television show.
It's the okay. Orville?
Yes.
Really?
Okay. Here's the thing. The Orville is good. I don't like Star Trek or Family Guy. I do, full disclosure, I think that like every little New England girl contractually has to have a crush on Seth MacFarlane, even though he has some of the more obvious veneers I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know how many of his original body parts he has, but...
Wait, why New England young people have to love Seth MacFarlane?
Because he's from New England and he's like the little cartoonist who could.
Oh, so, all right, mythical legend status for the region.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly. Definitely a regional hero. So, I used to have like a huge crush on him when I was younger, but... Watch the Orville, dropped in. Usually if I'm watching Seth MacFarlane joints, it means that I'm in a bad place mentally.
Okay.
But
good to know.
I started watching the Orville. Guess what? It's good. It's funny.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
What do you... So you're going to put the Yammy Lofty stamp of approval on the
on
Orville
the
right
Orville.
Now.
Wow. Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Listen, all don't right. start...
Your brand is trusted.
It seems like a gamble... I would say maybe start mid-season one. It's not...
you don't need any exposition at all to understand where you're at?
Seth MacFarlane is in space with his friends. That's all you got to know. And it's what a wild ride. There's some really problematic early episodes. You get into mid-season one and they start to figure out like,
okay,
that's, we shouldn't have said those things about abortion at the beginning.
Okay, well...
Yeah.
Are you a McFar fan on the level that you were pulling for him during the Oscars? Fan.
Yes.
You were?
Yes, I remember.
You were like, shut up, guys, on Twitter. He's funny.
No, I'm so quiet about my Seth MacFarlane fandom because it does definitely say, it sends out a vibe that you know, I don't want people in Stewie Griffin t-shirts to approach me.
Right.
I want them
right.
to be very far away from me. Yeah. But, yeah, I had such a known crush on Seth MacFarlane in college that I remember, like, all the texts I got when he was announced as the host. And they're like, Jamie, your crush.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, I know.
I had such a crush on him. I remember all the times the FBI visited
me. I used to have a dream literally when I was – I've been trying to tell stand-up jokes about it. Some people think it's funny. Some people think it's, like, too much.
Too real.
But I used to have a dream when I was little that Seth MacFarlane would push me down the stairs – and that my legs would break, and that
wait, recurring?
Yes, it was like a romantic dream, though. It had to do with my crush. Uh-huh. So he pushed me down the stairs, and my legs would be broken. And then he'd go to the bottom of the stairs and be like, "I'm so sorry, I didn't mean. It was a mistake. What can I do to make it up to you?" And then I would be like, "Well, first of all, set my legs back where, like, set my bones back.
Uh-huh.
And second of all, you have to be my boyfriend now."
Uh-huh.
And then that would be the dream.
Yeah. It shows a very good understanding of how relationships work.
And love works.
In the world. Yeah.
Truly horrifying. That's but he really would funny. Snap my legs back into place and I'd be like, like,
and,
be, like,
and they looked even better erotic. Than before.
Right.
Yeah. It's great. Anyways, The Orville.
The Orville. Yeah. Check
all
it out.
That to say, The Orville's
season
pretty good.
2 airing now.
So you had a crush on him like back when, sorry, I'm way too fascinated by this, but like he wasn't really a known. Like, he was first the guy behind Family Guy. Yeah. Did you just, like, know him from interviews and stuff?
Yeah. He wow. was, like, known in New England because no one from New England really does stuff.
Right.
So
it's Tom Brady, bro.
We need to talk about Tom Brady kissing his son. But, yeah, my uncle thought Seth MacFarlane was, like, the coolest guy in the whole world. And so he would show us the DVD extras.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what? Peter Griffin is hot?
Right.
And that's where my crush originated.
Hey, Jamie, get in here.
Get the fuck in here. You know the cartoon is
this
fucking
guy is
hot.
Fucking hot.
He's fucking hot. You see this guy? I was like, oh my fucking God, he is hot.
Like, oh my fucking God.
Oh my fucking God, he's actually very hot.
Your relationship to your Seth MacFarlane fandom sounds like my relationship to my Patriots fandom. So we can both be quiet and ashamed.
Yeah, I'm not trying to talk about it all the time because it does. Yeah, it just gives people the wrong message about
yes.
your core values.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk blackface, guys.
Oh, man.
This is the story that just won't quit.
Yeah, I mean, look, not only is Virginia for lovers, it's also for blackface. It seems
like it's mainly for
lovers
of minstrel shows.
Virginia is for lovers of blackface. I mean, yes. So first there was Ralph Northam, the governor, came out and we talked about him being like, look, it wasn't me in the blackface KKK photo. I did blackface. You know how the shoe polish gets on your face and it doesn't come off.
It wasn't me.
I was Michael Jackson.
It wasn't me.
And I won. So hopefully that takes it down a couple
levels. So there was just incidental blackface on his medical school yearbook page.
Right.
Just another person in blackface, but he did have a blackface experience his past.
And his nickname was Coon Man,
His nickname was Coon Man.
And not the song.
Right.
Confused with Spoon Man.
Right.
But yeah, that was the first thing. So everyone looked at, okay, well, who would be next in succession? And that would have been the lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax. And right now he's embroiled in, he's like looking at sexual assault allegations from back in 2004, where the victim has come out and put these things on the record, and he's been denying it. So people are like, oh, fuck. Well,
yeah, they got nobody.
Democrat Party is in array. Like, well, who's next in line?
The Attorney General. Fortunately.
Yeah, the Attorney General, Mark Herring. And now we find out he puts out a statement who was like, look, in the 80s, I was 19, and I was a real big fan of the rappers like Curtis Blow. So me and my friends did a little bit of a rap minstrel show, put on some blackface at a party, and did some performed some songs. I'm really fucking sorry. And I'm just, you know, I've come a long way and did the usual thing where then he lists off all the good things he's done, which is meant to sort of offset all that other shit.
Right.
But come on now. Like, let's be real. All y'all got to go.
Well, I think it's weird because also these white people are trying to say that, like, they're trying to, like, actually act like they're referencing, like, beloved black artists. Like, you know, like he's like, he mentioned Curtis Blow. It was probably like PM Dawn or something. Like,
right.
He's like, you know, he's like trying to be like, I just loved OG rap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, give him a pass.
I mean, Rock Kid.
Curtis
we
Blow.
All know.
I mean, yeah. Who talks about him? Let's give this guy a pass for that. Or I really loved, or I won the Michael Jackson contest. You know,
right.
I just love, like,
I could
like that'll help.
Yeah.
Like that's,
well, it's just,
well,
this
he won.
Thing.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Well, there's a thing. I don't know what's going on in Virginia, because even that his yearbook, his medical school, East Virginia Medical School,
right.
They had to like stop doing the yearbook because there was so much blackface happening.
Right. There was a recent medical school yearbook like from the past 10 years where there were people in blackface again.
Yeah.
Like that recently.
I know the
happening.
Deal because I grew up in Connecticut in a really wealthy town. We were not all that wealthy, and that's why I've been in a perpetual rage for my whole life. But and that's almost 75% true. So, you know, growing up in that area, you know where these people, what they're like. They're like, I remember in college, like I went to Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, which is where Tucker Carlson, I was in the same class as Tucker Carlson. I knew Tucker Carlson.
Oh, wow.
And he actually seemed normal. He didn't let on that he was secretly a fascist.
That's the problem with him is he does seem normal. He might actually be normal and he's still
just
doing
milking
this shit.
It.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, at that school, I remember blackface happened at my school, or it was like white people being like, oh yeah, no one can stop me from being politically incorrect. It was like the old version of that. Like,
right.
Oh yeah, I'm not supposed to do blackface. Why? Because I like Michael Jackson, you know? So
right. What's the problem?
But it was
right.
This way of being racist that it's like that white bully culture.
Right.
That those politicians come out of. All those politicians, they're all connected, wealthy people.
Yeah.
And that scene is a deeply.
Yeah. Well, and also it's like, it's one of those things where you don't have many people of color in your orbit.
Yeah.
So
no.
Of course you're going to do that because you never see, you don't see like black people at this party like, hey, there's my friend, blackface guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think it's those environments too where you can fuck around and do wild shit like this, but there's no one around to be like,
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
just like a thrill thing where it's like, we're not supposed to, but it's just us.
Right.
And we know. Yeah. Fuck it. We'll do this offensive
and
shit.
And the internet thankfully changed that because now there's like light in those corners where they were safe to do this bullshit because nobody would call them on it.
Right.
It's like streaking for racist people.
Right.
It's like a thrill.
Yes.
Like,
right. Woohoo! Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, God, that was so cool. Don't tell anyone, please.
That's a perfect description of it. You're right. That's what it is.
And you know,
I mean, Covenant Catholic also saw blackface there.
Right.
This is just... Yeah, these whites can't stop themselves from.
Jack.
I'm sorry.
Say
it's like
something
the final
to them.
Frontier. Yeah, it's like it's like, well, what you know, we can do whatever we want. Like what?
Right,
it's like what other thing can I do that I can get away with?
Let's talk about refrigerating. Refrigerating.
Refrigerating.
Refrigerating. Is a dating service.
Yeah.
From Samsung.
Yeah.
Just matching people based on the contents of their fridges.
Yeah. So rather than you know swiping on a photo of a human visage.
Right.
You would look at a just cluttered mess of the inside of someone's refrigerator, and they're encouraging people to, you know, based off what a refrigerator looks like, you know, go after that. Now, I don't know how serious this is.
Yeah, this is.
Because
this
it's.
This seems like some post-apocalyptic shit, where it's just stupid. Like, look at the food I have in my refrigerator, ladies.
Well, if this weren't, you know, just a blatant PR thing from Samsung for the new refrigerator, and I really thought about it. I'm trying to think of what kind of refrigerator, like, interior would be like. I would be like, oh, fuck. Yes. We're swiping on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see how she had the milk in Tupperware? Like, I don't know what I'm looking for
milk
there. That's
in
gonna,
Tupperware?
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't fuck with cartons. you know, whatever that is.
I think you'd be looking for, like, just... I mean, I would think like the more, I mean, you just would end up with people with fake pictures of fridges.
Right, right. Well organized.
Like, they're not, I'm not going to show my fridge.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
My fridge.
What's yours?
Cold brew and one container of feta cheese that's expired. Like, you know, and maybe like some candy because I'm afraid.
Oh, you put candy in the fridge?
Like, well, no, I don't know. Not candy, maybe cereal. I live in an unusual place, so I'm afraid of animals. So I keep cereal in the refrigerator. I mean, whatever. It'd be horrible. Yeah. I mean, they would say, I'd rather, you know, I look like a murderer or something. So, like, I would get a picture if I wanted to have a date.
Right.
I would get a picture of, like, Kim Kardashian's refrigerator, and then I'd have that up there. And then they'd come to my house, and they'd be like, where's your refrigerator that I loved? And you'd be like, Sorry.
Where's all that boxed water from their
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. Right.
The boxed water would be the flex. This would drive sales of boxed water through the roof.
Well, it's this Samsung, it's this new line of refrigerators that already seems like I think we've hit peak refrigerator technology already. When we had the ice door and water dispenser in the door, I think that's all we need. But now there's see-through doors and fucking smart tablets built into it. But this one specifically has a touchscreen and interior cameras that allow you to see the inside of your fridge from an internet-connected device, and the system can alert you when use-by dates are approaching.
Oh, now, does it read the use-by dates?
It must be analyzing it, but how many cameras are there? Are you just putting everything that has a use-by date? Not everything is printed right there on the top.
Yeah, if they make you input the use-by date, then that is such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. That's using your hand and eye, I still think, is the best system.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
Or your fucking nose.
Or nose, yeah. When your refrigerator starts to smell bad, that's when that's the real use by date.
Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. We're
me neither. I would
a little
never,
spicy in there.
Yeah. I would never let something go that long.
The whole
grown
thing.
Up with children. Anyways.
You have a refrigerator, they're just trying to trick you into getting more refrigerators. You have a refrigerator, it's working, and then they'll tell you you need a refrigerator that helps
with
you
a
date.
Camera?
Or
right.
Yeah, and you're like,
The camera is just sort of like, you don't need to be seeing inside. What the fuck do I need that my refrigerator be camera enabled? What reason?
Yeah.
In my mind, it only goes to dark places where I'm like, what are you trying to figure out? Are you trying to get a hand profile of me?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like
for
14
more algorithms.
Yep. More NSA looking at your shit.
Yeah. At my hands.
NSA
why would your hands be in the refrigerator?
Because you're grabbing shit.
Oh, it's like a live video feed?
Yeah, inside. It's unfucking necessary.
Yeah, okay. Got
so,
it.
It's like that doorbell thing. Fucking four people have rung my doorbell in my life.
That
would be the
ring.
Most dead air thing. Who rings your fucking doorbell?
You're
nobody.
Calling them, I think it's broken.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Oh,
like,
it's
I'm
a
not,
raccoon
it's
again.
It's not alerting me.
It's a raccoon.
Again.
Man, you do live in an unusual place where raccoons ring the doorbell.
I live in Monrovia. In Monrovia, okay. California. It's okay. Out east of Pasadena.
Yeah.
There's a lot of animals out there.
Basically,
and I live in
Toontown.
A little cabin kind of thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
In a backyard. back house.
Let's talk Adam Schiff.
Hey, look, he's got the reins of the House Intel Committee.
Okay.
And he's ready to do some shit. If we remember when Devin Nunes was running it, when he was the chairman, when the Republicans had the House, it was basically a laughable interview session where people from the Trump campaign or in orbit of the Trump campaign would come in to quote unquote testify about quote unquote Russian stuff. And they would just basically lie.
Yeah.
And no one really pressed them because it was up to the chairman to be like, okay, hold on. Did you commit perjury? They're just like, okay, thanks for your testimony. You can go. And then all the Democrats are like, well, hold on. There's a... fuck.
Right. Nobody was pushing them. Nobody was cross-examining them in any way that was
exactly. And now, so on the first day of official business, Adam Schiff, now in the chairman's seat, has said, look, Robert Mueller, you're getting all the transcripts of all the testimony, over 50 instances of testimony, over 50 different people, I think.
Wait, were they holding it back from him?
Yeah, because Devin Nunes wouldn't give him the official transcripts.
That's right.
Just to be like, oh, well, I don't think it's good. I think for national security or whatever.
Right.
But,
we can't trust Robert Mueller with these secrets.
Because if you look at it, people Michael Cohen and Rick Gates and stuff and Paul Manafort, they've gotten in trouble for lying to Congress.
Right.
Right. So, and you can do that when you have an official transcript to say, this is what we know. Oh, wait, and this is what you said. Under oath, essentially, to Congress. So now he's going to have, not only is Robert Mueller going to have full transcripts, Adam Schiff's this is what he says. The committee also plans to release to the public all investigation transcripts, as it's committed to providing the American public with a greater transparency and insight into Russia's operations and the U.S. government's response. So, hey, everybody's going to get to take a look at what they were talking about. Now, this could be really bad for people who have not really seen the indictments yet, like Eric Prince and Jared Kushner and Donald Jr. Those are people
Eric
who...
Eric Prince, boy, would I like to see him go down.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
creep.
He just went in there and was like, I don't know anything. When I was in the Seychelles, I just ran into that murky figure from the Middle East. It was total coinky dink.
Yeah.
So, yeah, We shall see.
I'd like to know
what
how many
to come.
Blackface photos Eric Prince
oh
has
my
in the closet.
Jesus Christ. It's his wallpaper.
I think Devin Nunes is like one of those people that a lot of these people I always think they're so lucky for suits and ties and like full heads of hair and speaking as a person who has no hair. But you know, like I'm always mad at everybody who has hair. And mainly the hair.
Yeah, you fucking
but, you know,
evil
they look
fuck.
Like, you know, Devin Nunes looks like really squirrely and suspicious and like a criminal kind
yeah.
of. But if you put a suit on him,
right.
You know, all these guys are misfit sociopaths and they benefit so much by suits and by the fact that a lot of them look like airline pilots. You know, cartoon airline pilots. Right. It's so much theater. I mean, right. Devin Nunes, if you took him and put him in like an undershirt and a pair of shorts, you yeah. would see what he is, which is a grifter.
Right.
They're
right.
a bunch of grifters, and I'm so tired. They should all have to wear their regular clothes to the Congress.
He should have right. to wear like Gotcha weightlifter pants yes. from the 90s with yes. like a sun bleached bum equipment
exactly.
t-shirt
right.
and wrap
like
around sunglasses. You'd be like, this guy, I wouldn't even let him near
I
my
I bet he
car.
Dresses like Joey Badafuco when he's like, when he's back lounging around.
He's got like a little pigtail too.
It makes me mad. You know,
yeah,
same
no,
Mitch
for sure.
McConnell. I mean, the guy looks like a...
Mitch McConnell wears jean cargo
for
pants.
For goodness
probably.
Sake, the man. Thank goodness for suits. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mitch McConnell does rock jeans a lot with a polo tucked into the jeans.
Oh, yeah,
I've
well, definitely.
Seen him,
it's a professional look.
There's an amazing article about Devin Nunes's family. So he has like a really rich farming family
right.
from California, and that's how he became a representative from California is because that's where his family's farm was. But they apparently moved away like 10 years ago
right.
to Iowa or Idaho or one of those places. And a reporter went to like report on that to be like, this is shady because they are trying to hide that.
Right.
Because they don't want people to know that he's not really from California. And they like went full crime family on him, on the reporter. They started like tailing him around and like,
yeah.
like telling people to like tell him to like back off. And
of
they
course.
Were like, yeah,
right.
It's going to be bad for you, man.
Right.
Yeah, it's really wild. Like the
hey, look, if y'all got info on the real Nunes family farm,
yeah,
contact
yeah, you
us.
Know Nunes when he ran for office, it's the kind of thing where he's like, my family farm, and it's probably like,
yeah,
know, they probably own like 70 factory farms where they
and it's
shoot pigs with like a they drop bombs on the pigs,
right? And it's heavily dependent on illegal like, labor, and there. That's the thing he's trying to. Cover
yes.
up, as
yes.
well as the bombs that they drop
yeah.
on other people's farms.
They yeah. probably have Eric Prince come in and kill the pigs.
Like he's just training. He's like, can I?
Can I
just
my
made
team
my own
of mercenaries
I,
come in?
I made a homemade bomber.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Can I test it on your
yeah.
one of your family's industrial farms? Devin Nunes says, sure. I'd love to watch, too.
Cool.
That sounds great. That's true.
That's true. You can quote
and
us
that
on
is
that.
Is true.
Let's talk about the NYPD versus Waze.
Yeah.
Waze. Do you still use Waze, Miles?
I use Waze sometimes. It's actually good. I think in certain areas, it's good. And at certain times, you know, like LA can be such a clusterfuck traffic-wise that sometimes Waze can give you a bit of an out to try and avoid traffic.
Right.
Other times, it will just send you in a, man, all the left turns, like unprotected left turns. Nope. Don't like that. Especially not in LA at rush hour. But I mean, for the most part, it has its uses.
Anytime I get an Uber driver that's like, I'm going to use Waze, I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be a long journey because I feel like it always goes
right.
like roundy, windy streets.
Yeah, it can be. It can be weird.
Yeah, sometimes it can take you way out of the way when
yeah.
it could be like, okay, yeah, maybe I saved 4 minutes,
yeah.
but
right.
we went like a mile out of the way and you're adding distance. So whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, for people who don't know, like on Waze, you can do stuff like be like, you can add like flag, like, oh, there's a pothole here,
right.
or there's construction, or there's a dead end, or
hoody-hoo!
Or whoop whoop. That's the sound of the police.
Yeah.
There's a DUI checkpoint or DWI checkpoint, depending on what part of the country you're in, for them to stop drivers to make sure no one is drink driving, as you
right.
would say in the UK.
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
Yeah,
yeah. Awesome. Drink driving.
Yeah,
drink driving.
I used to
sounds
cycle
so
around.
Fun.
I actually used to cycle around LA, and everyone thought I had a DUI. I'm like, no, I'm just British.
Right. I like that assumption. They're like,
yeah.
yo, I think Katya has a drinking problem.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
She bikes everywhere like
right.
someone with a DUI.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, so on Waze, I guess the New York police were really kind of not feeling it because they noticed a lot of people were sort of marking where DWI checkpoints are. So they hit them with like a really intimidating letter, like legal letter. It said individuals who post the location of DWI checkpoints may be engaging in criminal conduct since such actions could be intentional attempts to prevent and or impair the administration of the DWI laws and other relevant criminal and traffic laws. So basically saying like them posting it is irresponsible, blah, blah, blah. Google's argument is like, you know, look, we're just trying to let other drivers alert people to things on the road. Like they say that when, for example, when they tell people about like speed traps or things like that, by putting that there, it might help a driver, or most likely would help a driver, make a safer decision knowing that this is a thing.
Yeah.
But on the other end
with
of the
DWI, it's harder to make that argument.
Yeah.
That just is helping drunk people evade.
Right. Totally. Well, I think that's also, but I think that's where it kind of becomes like a First Amendment issue where it's like, well, you can tell people that if you're merely saying I'm trying to avoid traffic rather than I'm trying to enable people who are drunk and driving. But at the end of the day, I mean, in no way think we should make it easy for people who might be drunk to be like, well, okay, better avoid that part of town and then just drink and drive in this part of town.
Right, exactly.
So we'll see where it goes, what legal steps happen next.
Yeah, that is interesting. I've been waiting for this ever since the first time that I avoided a speed trap with Waze.
Right.
And I was like, oh, but that can't be good for cops. Like, cops cannot be okay with that.
I think in LA, though, the thing that people really hate about Waze is like suddenly there's traffic on streets that were never like thoroughfares. Like, you know what I mean? Like, especially in the hills, there are people who have like aggressive signs like, if you came here because of Waze, just turn around.
Yeah.
This street's too narrow. And you're like, okay, whoa. Thank you.
My street, like back when I lived in Westwood, our street would just every once in a while have standstill traffic going all the way up it because like a Waze. Like,
right. It was like to avoid traffic like off of Main Street. Yeah.
But like you couldn't. Yeah, it was just crazy. It was like a traffic jam.
And some neighborhoods have gotten who are so on the ball or just have connections to City Hall. Well, actually, I've noticed like when I was really using it, when I was commuting like from the west side to the valley and back and forth and was really taking advantage of side streets, they got signage up to be like, during like rush hour, like from 7 to 9 and from 4 to 7,
you can't
even come fucking through this street. And I'm like, wow, that happened quick.
Yeah.
I wonder what city council member lives here.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating
Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and I'm actually really eager to get your thoughts on this next story, because a big thing that if you're kind of paying attention to the weeds of, you know, all the people who are coming out and declaring for the Democratic nomination for 2020, a big argument that's taking place is, like we just mentioned, everybody is now saying they're for Medicare for mm-hmm. all, and in fact, like specifically aligning themselves with Bernie Sanders' policy. But there's this question of whether it is, you know, a Medicare for all where you do away with the entire private insurance industry, mm-hmm. which is like a multi-trillion dollar industry.
Yeah.
Like that's basically what Bernie Sanders is calling for, and that's what leftists are calling for. Whereas neoliberals who are saying they're for Medicare for all seem a little bit more wobbly on that. They're more like, well, you can keep the private insurance industry, but then everybody would have access to Medicare. But leftists' point that they're making is that if you have a multi-trillion dollar industry in the United States, it's going to suffocate like that public option. It's mm-hmm. going to keep lobbying, keep, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
hammering at it until Medicare for all isn't a very good option.
Yeah,
basically.
Well, that's with the NHS in the UK. Everyone keeps saying, oh, the NHS is suffering, and oh, the NHS isn't working. But it's because they keep cutting the funding.
Right.
And for me personally, I think it's a fantastic thing. And I think they do a great job of what they have. And I'm so grateful for free healthcare. And I feel like anytime I'm out here, I'm just at stand-up clubs, like telling the audience my health issues because I'm like too scared to go to a doctor right here.
Right.
Like anyone a doctor in the audience?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, so I...
trying to do a bit around this growth yeah. on your arm?
Yeah.
So NHS is your national healthcare service?
National Health Service.
And
yeah.
when they're cutting the funding, is it the conservatives who yeah. are basically yeah. like, this is, yeah, we need more of a private option?
They keep saying, exactly, 100%. Yeah. We've had, Theresa May, and then it was David Cameron, and it's like, yeah, they keep saying, oh, we need to go private. It's like, yeah, because you keep cutting the funding.
Like, right.
Right. You're creating the situation. Like,
yeah.
I mean, exactly. I think that's the thing is there's on one side, yeah, I see the argument to say like, yo, let's do away with all the private insurers.
Right.
But then you have, it's a very tough political battle, right? Because when you look at a lot of the polling,
right.
people, they like the concept of Medicare for all.
Right.
But when you actually go into the mechanics of it, they're like, okay, well, then how do you feel about it if we did it and we got rid of your private insurance? They'd be like, well, the support drops down to under 30 or under 40.
So it's guaranteed health insurance as a right for all Americans, 71%. Eliminate all health insurance premiums and reduce out-of-pocket health care costs for most Americans, 67. Eliminate private health insurance companies, 37%.
In favor, right.
Right. And do you favor or oppose having a national health plan? It's 56. And that's the number, 56. A majority supports, you know, a national health care plan, which people are equating with Medicare for all. But what the interpretation of that is a much trickier question. And I've heard it argued, you know, both sides. I've also heard people say, well, none of this is happening in 2021, so let's not make this the litmus test where you just
right.
disqualify candidates because you're not going to be able to put Bernie's vision in place in a single year. So let's just, you know, there are other socialist values that can be put into place that are more realistic.
Right. But
this does seem to be a place where the rubber is hitting the road in terms of leftists versus neoliberals, basically.
Yeah. It's one of those things, right? Like Obamacare was trying to address it, but because it took into consideration the market,
right,
and the private insurance companies, it just turned into this thing that wasn't really what it was intended to be.
It was written by private insurance companies.
They took a
CEO from a private insurance company and was like, write,
turn this up.
Yes,
for
exactly.
Us. And wow. I think that's why some people are like, it has to be all or none.
Right.
You know, and that's where it gets tricky because it is such a huge industry. You have people who are employed by these insurance companies. What are the mechanics of trying to make that work?
Right.
And it's one of those things where I think the sentiment is there, but we really have to really think about the creative ways that we can actually get people to not have a reaction to be like, oh, I'm going to lose my private health insurance. Because a lot of people who can afford their own insurance, I think most people who are fortunate enough to pay for or have employee-provided insurance or whatever, employer-provided insurance, are fine with that.
Right.
But it's right. When the second it starts being like, well, we would have to do away with that, you start losing support, and navigating that, I think, is going to be the toughest thing.
Right.
I just heard about that guy that changed the price from a $13 HIV medication to $700.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Like,
Way that that's possible.
The amazing thing about that is when you asked perfectly rational people about that who are like work in the markets, they're like, yeah, but what he's doing is just, that's logical. That's what you have to do. That's what the market dictates.
Right.
And it's like,
he just
seems
like a monster.
That's the problem with the market.
Yeah,
the
market
doesn't work then.
It doesn't take humanity into account.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It just takes into how do I pump up these profits.
Exactly.
So in England, in France, in Canada, and I think in most Scandinavian countries, there are private insurance companies.
Yeah.
They are sort of niche things for very wealthy people of means. And the point is that it's not the main thing, the private insurance
it supplements,
industry.
Yeah,
it's supplemental. Right. It's not a multi-trillion-dollar industry. To get the United States private health insurance industry down to the sizes of those would require a thing that is completely unnatural to America and to markets, basically, is the issue. So actually, Katya, so in England, and this is just like genuine curiosity, is being a doctor a prestigious like career, and is it like a one that you people are like, oh, he's a doctor, he probably does well.
Yeah,
for
like doctor, lawyer, going into medicine or law, those are still the same. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And is the healthcare like? Do you have generally good experiences with healthcare? Like, if
I personally do, yeah. I know that. I've heard that because I live in London when I'm in the UK, that being in London, you're more likely to be seen quicker by the doctors for some reason than if you live in the countryside, like in a suburban rural area. Supposedly they're either maybe understaffed or they're not able to get the prescriptions that you might need. That's just what I've heard. But I generally have had a really good experience
right.
with it. But I have had situations where, like, especially if I've needed something and I'm like, oh, I'm going out to America in 2 weeks. And they're like, well, on the NHS, we won't be able to get that done for you. So I'd have to go privately to get something dealt with before.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that is an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the question of how the system would be set up, what the role of private insurance companies would be, that is something that you would expect all the Democratic candidates to have nuanced ideas on and nuanced positions on.
Right.
And they haven't. And that's been a
well, that's the thing.
Critique.
It's everyone just like, yeah, y'all fuck with this, right? Yeah.
Right.
How are you going to do it? Fuck.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Because this is people like the politics of it.
Right.
You know, but it's the when you get down to the nitty gritty of the policy, that's where we're going to start seeing, you know,
but
the hair fly.
From a user perspective, from a consumer perspective, from the people's perspective, that is the ideal, is you shrink the private insurance industry down to something that is there if you need it.
Right.
If the publicly available system is not filling a need, like it's not getting you the medicine quickly enough and you have to pay extra because it is a private insurer, but it's not catering to the needs of, for instance, there was a leaked slide presentation that The Intercept published recently that was one of Nancy Pelosi's main aides, basically presenting to the head of Blue Cross Blue Shield and being like, look, we're going to find a way to kill this Medicare for all thing. Because Blue Cross Blue Shield and big companies like that, Kaiser, yeah, and, you know, giant corporations are going to do everything in their power to make it so they don't have to shrink at all.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with healthcare overhaul or healthcare reform in the country is right. that it's such a moneyed industry. You're trying to take down a gigantic industry.
Right.
And then also you have people who inherently are a little suspicious when the government's trying to be like, oh, we have something for you that's going to work.
Right.
So there's a lot of hearts and minds that have to be changed really for it to kind of have that meaningful change. And I hope someone is able to communicate those ideas in a way that can, you know, get more support behind it. But yeah, it's just going to be a very, very interesting, difficult debate because of, you know, yeah. just the state of the industry and the state of how lobbying and all that works in yeah. this country.
And like you said, Obama had a public option in Obamacare until the very last round of revisions, and then it got crushed by the private insurance interests. And even if it had lasted, I mean, you still would have had these markets where it probably they found ways to regulate, yeah. make it
and
so
the
that
insurance
it
companies
didn't
had,
stand a chance.
They found a way to thrive despite all of that right. anyway. So that's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the main issue is America's like down to the level of DNA, like at a very cellular level, America is organized on a principle of market economics.
Yeah.
And you're asking for them to change one of their largest industries into something that doesn't function in like by that logic at all. And it's going to be tricky. But again, the people are starting to come around.
Yeah.
I mean, what we talked about with Tucker Carlson is the same thing we're talking about here. People are starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, the vast majority of Americans get fucked in favor of these extremely wealthy handful of people who are at the top of corporations.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's good is that the will is there, and I hope that only grows.
Right.
And I think now we just need to begin articulating this policy in a way that can bring more people in and make it a little more realistic from a policymaking standpoint, too,
right.
of how to do this and do it in a way that causes the least amount of damage possible.
Yeah. Liam Neeson, so he has a movie coming out, Cold Pursuit, where he plays a snowplow driver.
Oh, I thought you were talking about snowplow.
No.
Yes.
That's it?
I believe so.
Wow.
I mean, in spite of what we're about to talk about, that sounds good.
Yeah, no, I
no
was.
Wonder
and
he
it's also
this.
Getting good reviews, strangely.
Wow. Yeah, there's a bit about vengeance there.
Yeah, so anyways.
I lived once. I just don't know. This is a weird story.
This is a
story.
Very strange story.
During the press conference, he confessed that he... here, I'll just read the excerpt from this. So essentially, what he said, a close friend of his was raped while he was overseas, and he asked the woman, he's like, do you know like what they were, what they look like? And it was a person of color. So then he begins to sort of really, I guess, open up the box more so we can see what was inside his mind. He said it was some time ago. Neeson had just come back from overseas and found out. His immediate reaction to hearing about the rape was, there was a pause. I asked, did she know who it was? No. What color were they? She said it was a black person. I went up and down areas with Akash, hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that, and I did it for maybe a week, hoping some, Neeson gestures air quotes with his fingers, black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could, another pause, kill him. And then he's like, you know, I obviously was really ashamed. It was a really dark point in my life. But it's like, do you want points because you're like, I didn't indulge my crazy murder fantasy of vengeance?
What was he hoping to accomplish?
I think he was hoping this was the closest he ever felt to one of his characters as like a man of vengeance.
Right.
You can come to kick some arse. And
yeah.
But he also like had a guilt about it and just is so out of touch. He's been famous for too long, so he just thinks that that's a thing that he can talk about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's bad, but, you know.
I mean, I get
it.
You
guys get it.
Sure. Revenge isn't, you know, beneficial to anybody.
Right.
Right.
Fantastic. But, like,
Liam Neeson is historically weird in interviews, though. Like, he'll say stuff that is always like, you're like, I see what you're going for, but he always, like, there was a story.
I know that horse.
There was, like, a story last year where he said that, like, the pay gap between male and female actors was disgraceful, and they're like, so would you take a pay cut to prove a point?
Not.
He's like, no.
Not me.
So he, like, started, I was like, okay, I see.
That's
what
not
you
my
were
problem.
He's like, fuck off. Like, so
that's
he starts
not my
up.
Problem.
So he, this is, like, a very weird pattern for him. Of, like, being like, oh, maybe he's about to say something not confusing and offensive. And then he just sticks the landing on.
Yes.
Yeah. But the best part they say is, like, right after he said that, his co-star that's sitting next to him, right after he finishes, just goes, holy shit. Verbatim is his quote right after he says that shit.
Wow.
And then he's like, it's awful, but I did learn a lesson from it when I eventually thought, what the fuck are you doing, you know?
Right.
Anyway, I play a plowman in this film.
I was like, just talk about snowplows. Yeah. You don't got to make this.
It reminds her of that bit when Life is Short, when he like goes to do improv comedy with Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, and yes. They're just all like, dude, what the fuck are you improvising about?
It really does. Like, it seems like that was in some way based on his actual personality.
Right, where he's like, if it's true, I'll say it and act right. like it's not odd because it's true, and then that's that. Right. I'm Liam Neeson. Goodbye.
Right. Anyways, you guys know how hard it is to get shoe polish off your face, yeah. right?
I just put a little bit on my cheeks.
Right.
Just to try it out.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really.
Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. Finally, what is a myth? What's something that most people think is true, you know to be false?
So I don't know if we were planning on debriefing on this during our recap of the big game, but I guess I just like want to know how long your own father should be allowed to kiss you on the lips and just sort of take the temp. I would say myth, your father should kiss you on the lips for, and I don't want to put anyone in a box, so I was really struggling with this on the way over. If you're going to kiss your father on your lips, which you can, I don't think it should go longer than a second.
Less than a second.
It should be
It should be.
Yeah, if that's what your family does, that's my. I don't know.
I mean, grew up kissing my dad and my grandpa on the mouth.
I kissed my dad on, and I think my dad still he hasn't let it go, but we're not holding it.
We're
not fucking holding it.
So this is something that super producer Nick Stumpf, when I came in this morning, he was like, I just saw Tom Brady interviewed for the first time. He is a weird creep. And that's true. Like, if you see him interviewed, he's just got this weird, like, vibe about him. It seems like it's, like, a very uncomfortable personality that was preserved in amber by his fame and success. So it was like he was... you know, a weird high school student, but then he became so good at football that nobody was like, you're kind of weird, dude.
Yeah, and knock it off, Tom.
Right. And then so there was controversy at the end of the Super Bowl on Sunday night because, I don't know if you call it controversy.
He's like Frenching his son.
Well, he kissed the team owner, Robert Kraft, on the lips, perhaps.
Yes.
But there's also an outtake from a home video, or I guess it was a documentary.
From like last year,
TB12.
I remember we talked about this,
right? Yes, and he's getting a massage on a table, and he makes his son come over, give him a kiss, and his son, you know, gives him the sort of kiss that you give your father on the lips if he's demanding that you kiss him on the lips, which is quick.
But then he calls him back,
and sprints out of the room, and Tom's like, no.
So
you get back in here and give me the good stuff.
Give me the smooch to the
booch. His son is like 11
and
years old.
It is 3 seconds long.
It's really long. I was really blown away at how long the kiss was. And then I was like, I fell into like crisis of like, because I felt weird that my dad still kisses me on the lips. And those are the quickies.
Yes.
You know?
No, I think it's
not the
smoochies. I think a lot of dads want to kiss on the lips.
They
want to
kiss their kids.
They want to kiss their kids on the lips. That's fine. But just have enough respect for your kid to not hold it.
And also, if your kid...
Let the kid decide how long they want to hold it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If they go, okay, thank you, Dad, I love you.
Right.
Because they're not doing... Like, if you're a dad who's still kissing your kids on the lips, they're not like, yay. They're like doing
finally
it as a favor to you. There was one point last year where I'd just been single for a while, and kissing my dad on the lips was the first lip kiss I'd received in like 5 months.
Aww.
And I was like, that just... That shouldn't
shook
be.
You
that's
to your
not
core.
Right. Yeah, it was just like something's not right.
And even in that context, you presumably did not want to hold it for longer than like less than a second.
Even when violently horny, I still didn't want to French my dad.
Right. There it is.
Yeah,
fathers of the world, you've heard it here.
Yeah,
I'm kids trying don't to think
of
hook up.
When I throttled off of kissing on the lips, because I did it probably till I was maybe 9.
Right,
and then it went to cheek kissing.
Yeah.
Andrew, okay.
But I don't know if that was a thing I did or...
I got to check in with my brother, see if my dad just like is not taking social cues right or something. Maybe he's still doing it to my brother.
Maybe he's kissing
you're like,
everyone.
Your arms are locked in front of you. No.
Okay. Well, is it weird if your dad, before he kisses you on the lips, says, I really need this?
Or afterwards, just...
Or, I needed that.
Or just a deep sigh after...
I'm just taking notes over here for when my son doesn't want to kiss me on the lips anymore, you know?
And you're like, what's wrong?
Wants to cut it off after a mere 2 seconds.
Are my lips chapped? Tell me how can
what's
I make this
on?
Work?
The fact that the son leaves the room and is coerced
summoned
into coming back.
Yes. It's very strange.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I was like, I have contempt for rich people, but I'm like, they also have strange problems.
Yes, they do, because nobody tells them. It really is like a look at what the human mind will do if it just encounters no obstacles, essentially.
Right, right. Where nothing is weird.
Right, there's nothing is weird. Right. Yeah.
Just do what you gotta do. Live your life.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.